Today is a day for laughter and feasting and celebration and worship because Jesus died for us and he is risen from the dead. There are lots of great Martin Luther quotes that are totally inappropriate for me to tell you because he was pretty vulgar in his description of the devil and what happened to the devil on Easter. I'll tell you one that is not that vulgar. He says that on Good Friday, the devil swallowed up Jesus. But on Sunday, on Easter Sunday, he realized he had swallowed a pill that burst his stomach open. That's supposed to make you laugh. Today is a day for telling good jokes. Good jokes, Easter jokes, jokes about how the good overcomes evil. Today, Easter proves that Jesus is stronger. He's stronger than sin, stronger than Satan, stronger than death itself. Today, we can set aside every concern, every weight. We can breathe a great sigh of relief and celebrate what Jesus has accomplished. So now we have the assurance that nothing can stop him, right? Death could not hold him. Nothing can stop him. God's kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven, just as he prayed and promised. And Jesus, our risen Savior, will rule over all things with justice, mercy, and love. Our whole world needs to hear this story because it's wonderfully good news. Sin and death are coming to an end, and Jesus is the answer to all our problems, all our difficulties, except one. We have to go tell other people about him. Jesus is the answer to everything else, right? Except for going out from this place tomorrow to tell others. I don't think his resurrection covers that, does it? Does it? Jesus conquered death itself, so why are we afraid to tell others? Can Jesus conquer their skepticism too? Is Jesus strong enough to overcome our fear and their doubt? Sharing this good news feels like a huge obstacle to us. We're safe today among believers, but tomorrow, when we return to the unbelieving world, out there, Christians are seen as crazy, maybe dangerous fanatics. Can Jesus conquer their unbelief and opposition? What we just heard in Mark's gospel is very important for answering this question. He ends his gospel in a way that gives courage to every Christian generation and has since the apostles all the way to now. Courage to tell others about Jesus. And what Mark is doing at the end of his gospel is he's filling in a gap in the story of how the good news of Jesus' resurrection got to the disciples and then got eventually to us. And it all started with these three women, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome. Mark 16, verse 7 that we heard. These women are given very careful instructions. Go tell Jesus' disciples and Peter. He is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. And the other three gospels and the early church bear witness to the fact that they did exactly as they were told. They fulfilled this command. They obeyed, despite feeling afraid, despite trembling, being astonished, as Jim read. We heard they were astonished and they were afraid about what they had discovered at the tomb. They overcame their feelings and they delivered the good news. How many times have we disobeyed God because we didn't feel like it? We just didn't feel like doing what he told us. Their obedience is a huge deal. Because of how the Bible begins. It begins with disobedience in the garden, right? That's where the problem comes from, disobedience in the garden. And this time, we have a new beginning in a garden, in a tomb, set on top of a mountaintop, where the curse is reversed. You see? Three women obey God's word to them, doing what he told them, and they become the first evangelists. Their obedience sparks a chain reaction that brings the good news to us and has us all here today. They did this, but it doesn't mean it was easy. It was a difficult assignment for them. It's always a difficult assignment. Jesus never said that life would be a piece of cake after his resurrection. In fact, he said quite the opposite, that it would be hard, that we would be persecuted, that we too would have to take up our crosses and follow him, but that he would be with us wherever we go. If you look once again at the story of these three women in Mark chapter 16, the first to follow Jesus after Easter, you will find it was very hard for them, just as he said. First of all, think about how it must have felt for them to have to go to the tomb 2 days after his death. All their hopes regarding the Messiah had been dashed to pieces by Jesus' death on the cross. The hatred of the Jewish leaders, the brutality of the Romans, had cost them their beloved leader and friend. They wanted to do Jesus this one last kindness by anointing his dead body with perfumes to cover over the stench of decay. But they had to wait until not only after his crucifixion on Good Friday, but all day through Saturday, through the night to Sunday, because that was the Sabbath. So it was going to be a very nasty, heartbreaking job. Yet at daybreak on Easter Sunday, God gave them courage. It came from the Lord. They had the courage to overcome their feelings and to set out on this journey, taking spices and ointments, to do one of the worst things imaginable, to crawl inside this tomb where Jesus' body lay decomposing and somehow tidy up a tragedy, a crime scene, a horror. But as they set out, they were aware of another huge obstacle, literally a huge obstacle, because they're thinking about this stone that they saw rolled in front of the tomb. Well, how in the world are they going to move it? It's too big for them to move. They have been worrying about this since Good Friday. It's a symbol of the weight that's on their shoulders. Together, this burden is too much for them to carry. So they're saying in verse 3, how? How can they do it? Who can help us? They're asking. Who can help us? Well, who indeed, right? It's the Lord. Again, of course, he promised that as we pick up our crosses and follow him, that he will go with us. That he will be with us. As we are being obedient, as we're overcoming these feelings, and we're being obedient to his word, he promises to go with us and to help us with the obstacles we face. It's perfectly understandable that the women saw the stone as an impossible obstacle. They didn't know that Easter had happened. But when they arrived, what happened? Surprise, right? They find the stone has already been moved for them. After two long days of worry, the greatest obstacle that they were worrying about was nothing at all. It was gone. The thing that they had fretted about so much, it felt so enormous, and yet afterwards, in hindsight, looking back, it was nothing at all. And I read this as a sign, not only of God's power, but also of his mirth, of his laughter, of his cleverness. This is the way God does it. He's always surprising us with jokes, with these funny surprises. We're like little hobbits who find ourselves in this epic story of terrible evil. And we keep discovering that things just happen to go the right way. It really is all coming to a happy ending. The obstacles against all odds keep disappearing. The message of the gospel keeps going forth into the world. Of course, the women at the tomb don't know any of this yet, do they? They had not expected a miracle, nor did they conclude that that's what had happened when they got there, because they're still shell-shocked by Jesus' crucifixion. They're probably fearing more violence and foul play. So they have to muster even more courage once they get there. The stone is rolled away. They have to muster even more courage and crawl down inside that tomb to discover who knows what is inside. Which, of course, would be more good news, right? We know because we've just heard it. But let's not go there just yet. Remember what Jesus said that discipleship would look like. We, too, have to follow him in the way of the cross. He says, you have to pick up your cross and follow me. And I want you to see that these women are doing exactly that. They're following Jesus down into the tomb. It's another sign to us that the way up is down. The way to live freely in Jesus is to die to self. The way to overcome the fear and shame of telling others about Jesus is to get on our hands and knees and climb down into that tomb and die with him. Every leap of faith feels like this huge risk. If always we're standing on the edge of the cliff and looking out, and it feels like no way am I going to make it. And then you muster the courage with Jesus, and you take the jump, and you look back, and you find, that was nothing at all. And I would do that again in a heartbeat. In hindsight, it's often so small, and yet it looks so big. So the women crawled inside to discover the empty tomb. And, well, not quite empty, was it? Because there's a young man who's there, commonly understood to be an angel. He's waiting inside for them with an explanation and instructions. He says, don't be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? Now go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. And that's just exactly what they did. All the other gospels in the early church attest these faithful women picked up their crosses and they followed Jesus right into the heart of darkness. What they found inside was life rather than death, and they found the courage to overcome their fears, and because of them, the good news of Jesus has come to us here in Washington, D.C. What a difference Easter makes, or at least it should make, in the way that we think about the obstacles we're facing, right? What a difference it should make. When Peter and the other disciples heard that Jesus had risen, that he was eager to see them, think about how they must have been feeling. Because every one of them had abandoned him. Every one of them had fled. They must have been paralyzed with guilt and remorse. But Jesus sent word that he still wanted to see them. And Jesus always speaks the truth. They had to overcome their own fears, their own guilt and shame. Through Jesus' death for us, he dealt with our sins once for all so that we might join him in fellowship, so that we might be on his team in sharing his everlasting life with the world. That's what we're invited into doing. And as we go out, we will find somehow, wonderfully and surprisingly, that the enormous obstacles that we face will all be rolled away. This is where Mark leaves us on Easter Sunday. This is the way that he ends his story. He could have gone on and on talking about all the things that happened in the book of Acts and on through the New Testament, but he ends it right here with this obedience, this command to tell. And it's an invitation for us to do the same. It's such good news. It ought to make us laugh with joy, right? So I invite you this morning as you meditate on these things, to renew your commitment to follow him in the way of the cross, to follow him into the tomb and out on the other side and see where the adventure leads, laughing with joy at how he removes every obstacle. Go and tell others this good news. The obstacles, it's like the mirror, you know, the objects in the mirror. These obstacles are actually not as big as they appear. At all. Go out into the world and tell. The Lord will remove every obstacle. Trust in him and tell others about him. Amen.